Well, we've just sung, at fearful cost, his life he lost, that death might be defeated. The man of love, now risen above, in majesty is seated. Let's think then about Jesus as the man of love. Galatians and chapter 1, if you want to open your Bibles there. I forgot to tell you to bring your Bibles to the front. Galatians chapter 1. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to think about Jesus as the man of love. Tonight, my task is really pleasant, is to tell you about someone who loves you. And there's no hardship in doing that at all. Jesus, the man of love. And it's pleasant and inspiring to think of Jesus in this way, especially in the kind of world that we live in today. The news is filled with stories about hatred. There are so many news reports about wars, violence, bombings, terrorism, assaults, murder. Seems like hatred is boiling over. And then social media, it can, in its darker places, swarm with hatred. Bullying and racism and slandering and bitterness and verbal rage. And so we find that blocking and reporting can be commonplace. And then there are streets and homes and schools and universities that can live in fear because of hatred, attacks and rapes and stabbings and gang violence. Hatred has taken control of many places. And for many people today, hatred has taken control of their hearts and lives, and they even end up hating themselves. A dark, dark world where hatred seems to rule. But into that dark world, filled with so much hatred, comes Jesus, the man of love. And he comes into this world to lighten it up, and to fill the hearts of women and men with love. This is one of our Savior's great missions, to show what love really is. You see, Jesus was known as a loving person. On one occasion, a rich young ruler approached Jesus, and this rich young ruler was seeking to gain eternal life. And he wanted to know what he had to do to gain eternal life. And Jesus spoke to him so calmly, so kindly, so frankly. And this rich young ruler decided that, no, he wouldn't follow Jesus. The cost was too great, he thought. And then Mark 10, verse 21, we read that Jesus looked at him and loved him. What was the look in our Savior's eyes? This look of love. He looked at him and loved him. Jesus loves even those that turn away from him. This man turned away from Jesus. Jesus loved him. It's well known from John chapter 11 that Jesus had a great love for Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And so when Lazarus was poorly, the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And after Lazarus died and Jesus wept, the Jews who were observing said, "See how Jesus loved him." People said all sorts of things about Jesus, but nobody could ever say he didn't love people. He's the man of love. And of course he is, because he's God, and God is love. And Jesus perfectly obeyed the first and second commandments. He loved God with all his heart, and he loved his neighbor as himself. And that love was selfless love, an unconditional love, even embracing the poorest and most sinful people with his love. Jesus loved. He's the man of love. And Jesus' love is best seen in what he gave. Love always gives. The missionary lady, Amy Carmichael, said this: "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So you look at a new couple in love, always buying each other things, always giving each other things. But a loving heart carries on doing that, carries on giving, serving, buying, doing things for the one that they love. And we can give to others in many different ways, but the hardest thing of all to give is yourself. So look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus gave himself for us. So if somebody ever asked you, well, what did Jesus ever give to you? You say, well, everything. He gave himself. And these two words, love and give, are linked together quite a few times in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, we read this. For though through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. They go together. He loved and he gave. He loved me, and it's not just that he gave me presents or he gave me other things, but he loved me and he gave himself. And that is the hardest thing of all to give. We can give people things, but to give yourself, that's huge. And Jesus gave himself. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Christ forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Again, love and giving are linked. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Well, these are just four references that show that love and give go together. And the love that gives, on Jesus' part, is everything. He gave himself. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus loved, literally, until it killed him. So when we come to the Lord's Supper, the bread, we remember, is Jesus' body given for us. And the cup, we remember, is the blood of the new covenant poured out for us, given for us, nothing left over. My body given for you, the blood poured out for you. And that love that our Savior had as the man of love, and that giving himself for us, is not just to make us feel good, though it does if you know you're loved, but it's actually to save us from our sins. So the only way that my sin and your sin could ever be forgiven is if a sacrifice was made on your behalf, and it was a human one and a divine one at the same time, the love of Christ. So on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we eat the bread, we remember that Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. The servants will wait upon you. Take a piece of bread and eat it as you receive it, and remember the love that Jesus has for you this evening. As you're served, then you will remain seated to sing "My Lord, What love is this? And then we'll stand to sing, here is love, vast as the ocean. Well, we have thought together about Jesus, the man of love, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, let's think about ourselves in response to his love, that we're to live as people of love. Let's go to John chapter 13. John 13. We sometimes say to people, practice what you preach. You talk the talk, live the walk. Well, Jesus did that completely. So he preached what he practiced, put it the other way around. He showed people how to love, and then he told people to love. He often taught to love one another. Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies. He spoke about the greatest commandment as loving the Lord your God with all your heart, but he quickly added the second to say that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And as we often say, is that the only way that you know if you're truly loving God is if you're truly loving your neighbor. And the only way that we can show we love God is if we love one another. But John tells us it's impossible to say, I love God and hate another person. So love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said this again and again. He says in John's gospel, this is my command, love one another. So these commandments that Jesus gives, this teaching about love that Jesus gives, comes like wave upon wave on the seashore. It comes, and it comes, and it keeps coming like waves. Love one another, love one another, love one another. And if you look at John 13, verse 34, Jesus said this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Two things about this new command. One, it's a command. He says, a new command I give you, and there's a must. As I have loved you, you must love one another. So this is not a request, as if Jesus had turned to his disciples and say, hey guys, I've got a great idea. Would you just mind loving each other? It's not just a good idea. I know, let's give love a try now. It's a command. You must love one another. And second thing about it is, it's a pattern. How should we love one another, Lord? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And surely there's great significance in the timing of when Jesus gave this. See, this comes at the end of his life. This is spoken when he gave the Last Supper. This is spoken in the upper room. This is spoken in Jerusalem. He was very soon going to be arrested in Gethsemane and tried before Pontius Pilate and crucified the next morning. So this is right at the end of his life. Now, if you look at chapter 13, verse 1, you'll see something of the significance of this. John 13, 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. This is the end of his life. So he doesn't start out loving them and get fed up with them and stop loving them. He loved them to the end. Now, here's the significance that our Savior now says, you've seen what I practice, hear what I preach. Indeed, I practiced what I preached, and I am telling you now what it is. Love one another. We're to love one another then in the pattern that Jesus set. That's in the same way he loved us. He is the model. He is the example. He is the shop window display of what love should be like between human beings. Now, we can get a little bit edgy about this because we know our own hearts. And we also know that if this was a command to pull up our own moral bootlaces to love one another, we just couldn't do it. So it comes at the end of his life to say, look, I've done it. I've shown you. Now you love one another as I have. And he will go on to say, I will give you my spirit. And the fruit of the spirit is love. So this command is not up in the heavens that we can't reach it. This command is not right down in hell at all that we have to go down to get it out. This command is there. You've seen how to love. I've loved you. Now love one another. It is something in the power of the Spirit that a disciple of Jesus can do. How did Jesus love us? He loved us in three ways. He loved us with a hearty acceptance. A hearty acceptance. Jesus called his disciples just as they were, with all their failures and their faults and their crazy ideas and their headstrong notions, with all their shortcomings and all their blemishes and all their imperfections, yet he accepted them as they were. With all their unsanctified character traits, with Peter's bullishness and Philip's reticence and James and John's ego, yet Jesus accepted them just as they were. He didn't wait for them to become perfect before he loved them. He didn't wait for them to become perfect first. He didn't wait for them to finish their get your life sorted out in the night school course. He didn't wait for them to finish their book reading on positive human relationships. He loved them just as they were, with a hearty acceptance. And Romans 15, verse 7 says, accept one another then, how? Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. He loved us with a hearty acceptance. And that's how we're to love one another, accepting one another. Secondly, he loved us patiently. Oh, how patient Jesus was with his disciples and all their blunders. Peter in particular. You'll never wash my feet, Lord. Well, Peter, then you'll have no part in me. He put up with them all. The patience he showed to all of his disciples was amazing. He fed the 4,000. He fed the 5,000. He asked them what the lesson was. They didn't get it. And Jesus said to them, are you still so dull? Don't you understand? But he put up with them patiently. And we must love one another patiently. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do you know, that verse, which you might just want to mark down as, star it in your Bible app or note it in your Bible, Ephesians 4 verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do you know, the reason why it says be completely humble and gentle before it says be patient and bear with one another in love, it's because proud people are not patient people. You look, you observe people at work or others that you know, proud people have very little patience with other people and all their blunders and all their failures. So be completely humble and gentle, and then you will be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Bearing with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your parents, with your fellow followers of Jesus, with fellow church members. Be completely humble and gentle. That's what Jesus was. And therefore he was patient, and he put up with so much. So Jesus loved us with hearty acceptance. He loved us with amazing patience. Thirdly, finally, he loved us forgivingly, if there's such a word. He loved us with forgiveness. Again and again, Jesus forgave his disciples. They did so many wrong things, so many sinful things. They deserted him, they forsook him, they denied him, but he forgave them. He forgave them all. Jesus never bore grudges. He was never bitter. He always forgave. And we're to do exactly the same. Again, Ephesians 4, but this time verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Okay, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive then? Seven times. There's ever such a lot. If I've got to forgive someone seven times, not in a week, but in a day, oh, that's too much. Seven times. Okay, I'll forgive someone seven times, Lord. Aren't I great? Well, Jesus says, well, consider 70 times. That's how Jesus loved us. Do you know, Jesus hasn't forgiven you 70 times, but seven times 70 times, which is like this like perfect number. He has forgiven us with perfection. How often do I have to forgive people? As often as Jesus forgives me, which is every single day. Jesus is the man of love who gave himself for us in love to rescue us from our sins. We're to be people of love. Jesus loved us with a hearty acceptance. He loved us with such patience, and he loved us so much as to keep on forgiving us. That's how we are to love one another. And isn't it amazing to think that this is how Jesus actually loves us? Tonight, we're talking about real love. The love that accepts, the love that puts up with so much, and the love that forgives, the love that goes all the way to the cross. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Let's stand to sing that as we close.